every Arizona homeowner's best friend.
And it all has to do with you. Thanks for tuning in. It's Rosie on the House. Your weekend wake-up tradition.
I talk to the tree. Stop and hear what I say.
Come on in, y'all. Come around to the backyard. We're going to be talking about outdoor living this hour at Rosie on the House. Come in. Take a deep breath through your nose. Exhale through your mouth. Release the pressure, the anxiety, and the worries of the world that are stored up in your head, your brain, your neck, and let them go. Because you are in every Arizona homeowner's happy place. Good morning. We're here to talk about only things that you love, yourself and your home. And if you'd like to join the conversation, you can give us a ring at 1-888-767-4348. Let's see if we can bring in our special guest this hour. We always bring in Mr. John Eisenhower from Save a Tree. John, good morning, sir.
Good morning. We're talking about all things green today as well.
All right. All things green. And you brought in special guest Sarah Maitland.
I did. Sarah Maitland is my good friend and colleague in the tree industry, a registered consulting arborist, and a wonderful sales rep at Save a Tree here in Phoenix. And she's sharing the microphone with us today. And I'm glad to have her here.
Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning, Rosie.
How are your holidays?
Wonderful. I got some rest.
Oh, man, that's great. Good, good. We want you rested up for the show. Bring it all for our Arizona listeners. Again, if you'd like to join the conversation, the number's 1-888-767-4348. We'd love to hear about your trees and the questions you might have about planting, fertilizing, nurturing, and trimming those trees. And you have a particular tree in mind you'd like to start the conversation off with, eh, John?
We do. Our tree of the month is the Eucalyptus papuana. How about that for your botanical name? It's the ghost gum eucalyptus tree. And it's a particular interest because...
All I heard in that title was dirty.
No, interestingly, no, that's why.
I thought every eucalyptus was just dirty.
No, they're not.
Okay.
In fact, there's a lot of eucalyptus trees that grow really well here. There's about 13 variety that are pretty common and commonly available at the nurseries. And this ghost gum, they call it, is kind of ghostly in appearance because it has a brilliant white bark, smooth white bark. And it's in contrast to a beautiful, you know, dark greenish leaf. And they're relatively low litter.
I love it.
There's a couple of eucalyptus trees like the spathiolata and this papuana that are pretty low leaf litter eucalyptus trees.
I didn't know God made one of those.
They do.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why they're so popular.
Okay,
and
I bet.
And they don't grow real big, and they're a little slower growing than your camaldulensis or some of your fast, really super fast growing tall eucalyptus. And no, it's one of those kind of more unusual ukes, but they are commonly available. In fact, I think Sarah did a little bit of research on availability, and what did you find out?
Well, I called Paul Chambers out at Australian Outback, and he grows eucalyptus all the time, and he feeds a lot of koala bears and does some wonderful things. He does have these available. He does sell them through Lowe's. Or you can go to his website, AustralianOutback.com, and you can set up an appointment to visit his place. It's just extraordinary if you've never seen it. And he said that you can get a 24-inch box tree retail for about $170, and it comes in at about 9 feet. And in 5 to 6 years, you've got a 30-foot tree. And the thing that I love the most about this and what Paul was sharing with me is they don't really even start to grow until it gets 100 degrees. That's when they really start to grow. And with our temperatures getting hotter and hotter and hotter every year, this might be the new tall tree for Phoenix in Arizona.
Interesting. Now, you say you could go visit the Outback. Where generally is this located?
I think it's in Tonopah, or it's out I-10 West.
Okay.
But you have to go online and make an appointment. And they'll contact you. But with our temperatures, we have to think about, you know, we're losing all these big trees due to the temperatures. This might be a new raptor tree. You know, we've got to replace those big canopies with trees for...
So for a buck and a quarter, a buck and a half, you're picking up a tree that can be 7 to 9 feet tall, that in a decade or less can be 30 feet tall.
In 5 to 6 years.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty good buy.
It is. It is. And they grow a little taller than they are wide, so you're going to have this more of a vertical appearance in the landscape. That's why they get to those heights pretty quickly. It's not going to be your big canopy shading tree right away. It's going to have to get quite a bit taller before you get the width that you want if you're looking for that kind of shade cover. But yeah, no, they're a really desirable tree, and there's a beautiful specimen at about 40th Street and Broadway at the Maricopa County Extension Office.
Yeah.
And they're just beautiful. They have this amazing white bark, and it's very, very smooth. You'll see them sometimes along the freeways in Southern California, especially in San Diego. There's stretches of the freeway there where there's just dozens of these, and they're really obvious because they have that beautiful, brilliant white bark. It's not just a light-colored, cream-colored bark. It's a brilliant white bark, and that's kind of sets them apart from other ukes you might see.
Well, I like eucalyptus. I really do. I love the tree. I just don't love it in my yard or my neighbor's yard.
Yeah.
If it's four doors down, that's just perfect. Or if it's in the park or where somebody else is taking care of it. But if this is a low litter euc, I could have a new favorite tree.
Yeah, no, the bigger eucalyptus trees like the Camaldulensis, the river gums, they are a litter machine. They just dump leaves all the time. And yeah, if you live anywhere near one, we used to say we'd rather have no wind at all, which means very little leaf drop, or a lot of wind. So the wind, the leaves go all the way past your house,
you
down the street to the neighbors somewhere down the block.
All right. We're here with John.
It's your problem tree.
We're here with John and Sarah from Save a Tree, talking trees, and we've got a caller. We'd like to bring Mike into the conversation, calling from Mesa. Good morning, Mike. Let me introduce you to John and Sarah. What tree issue are you dealing with this morning? How can we help you, my friend?
Well, we've got a couple of palm trees that are starting to buckle the wall, so we're going to have those cut. I was wondering about the ramifications of leaving the stump. Will it grow back? Will it attract termites, or what's the deal?
Well, the stump, yeah, once the tree's down, the stump will die. The palm will not recover. The roots will stop growing and encroaching on the wall. So that's a good thing to do, is get those palms out, because they do that stump will continue to get wider and wider and wider and compress the soil between the tree and the wall, and eventually the wall will give way. But I wouldn't be too concerned about the stump attracting termites. If you have termites in your area, they're going to be there regardless of whether that one stump is in your yard or not. The other thing is that palm tree stumps are very fibrous and very easy to remove. So, you know, getting a stump grinder in there to knock that stump out, you could do that in under an hour's time with a good stump grinder. Also, interestingly, palms, if you dig around the outside of the perimeter of that stump, dig down a few inches below grade, you can sometimes get a chainsaw in and actually cut slightly below grade. You know, you have to, there's a technique of plunging the chainsaw bar directly into the stump, like injecting it into the side, and then you just kind of carve around it. And we've actually taken that entire stump out just a few inches below grade, and then you're able to just simply cover this the tree over, or cover the stump over with the soil. So that's a possibility. It's a lot easier to do that with a palm than it is with a normal tree. So that might be another option for you to avoid having the cost of getting a stump grinder in there.
Now, Mike, let me ask you this. When the palm tree is gone, what happens with that area?
I'm leaving it blank.
Okay. All right. Well, good.
But I may make a table out of the stump.
Yeah, you could. Yeah, if you've got a spot back there and you like that area, do you want to leave the stump at 40 inches of height and actually put a tabletop on it? You could even consider doing that. I know a lot of people have tried that successfully.
All right, Mike, we appreciate the call. I can tell you we've had to remove several palm trees for room additions we've done in the past. And it seems to me, if you don't want to deal with the caving in area, over the years forward, because the root will decompose. The ball will decompose, and it'll kind of create like a little crater. If you don't want to deal with that, go ahead and get the whole thing out of there.
Backfill it. Yeah, don't backfill with the stump grindings, because they tend to be just fibrous and full of a lot of air. You want to dig all that stump material out and the grindings, and then replace it with common soil.
And Rosie, you always talk about how far people should plant from the home. You guys could kind of address that so people don't end up in that situation where they have to, you know, remove them because they're too close to the house. How far out should they be?
Yeah, so many of our tree removals are due to the fact that trees were planted too close to a hardscape element or to the building. But you want to consider the mature height and spread of the tree and get an adequate distance away. If that tree is going to be 20 feet in diameter and it's, you know, with the final canopy size, well, you would need to be at least 10 feet away from the house to be able to make sure that you're not constantly having to do roof clearance. But even a little beyond that is going to give you a little bit more security. But sometimes it's hard because people want to get that immediate shade on the south and west side, so they'll put the trees as close to the window as they can to get that immediate shade to that surface. But then within 3 or 4 years, you know, you realize, oh, my goodness, we've planted it too close. So, yeah, push it out. Consult an arborist, too. It all is the distance from the building or your hardscape is dependent on the mature size of the tree. And also it's species dependent, too, because some species are very aggressive rooting. And you want to get those, you know, even further away from the home so that you don't have that root encroachment occurring.
I was at a client's home just yesterday in Paradise Valley and looking at a room addition that an Aleppo pine would have to be eliminated. And it's an area that hadn't received a lot of sufficient watering for this pine. So the roots were literally crawling along the surface. I mean, it had like 6 roots the size of my thigh.
Yeah.
And one of them, you could see, went right up to the foundation of the home, turned 90 degrees, went underneath another corner of the home, and came out the other side.
Wow. Yeah.
So, and that tree was 15 feet from the foundation, but now it's a 60-foot tall Aleppo.
Yeah, I've got a couple of big Aleppos in my front yard too, and one of them's about 4 feet from my wall. But, you know, we're still doing okay. It hasn't lifted the whole corner of the house yet.
Now you're not going to plant a palm for shade, but you do have to realize the longer it grows, the bigger that bottom ball gets. Well, I want to talk a little bit about that issue, maybe with some other trees, because I think we can cheat it a little bit with some trees. And then your root barrier trick is a pretty good one, too. We'll talk about that when we get back with John and Sarah from Save a Tree here at Rosie on the House.